Okay, well, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 13. Okay, let's see whether we have memorized that already. Okay, who has? All right, girls, let's hear from you. Go. And since the ladies, okay, go. Oh boy. Only Camille. At least Camille, eh? Otherwise she's in trouble. Boys, let's try a little better. Come on, boys. Here we go. And okay. Okay. Not too many people can say they have the spirit of faith. You want to know whether you got it? You'll be shouting it out. That's what you know. Now tonight we're going to talk about a spirit. What on earth is a spirit of it all? What do we mean? Right? Now, very often when people buy animals, horses, dogs, whatever, prize things, you know what they look for? If you want to buy a good horse, you know what you look for? We call it the spirit. Now, please don't imagine there is a phantom coming out, you know, but what on earth is a spirit? And you'll be surprised what that means. And you really, really will be surprised, because you can tell the spirit of the animal in a number of ways, whether this one is friendly, this one is fierce, this one is courageous, right? But you can't actually see it, can you? Now, some people say, well, I can't see, I can't believe. So there was this nasty teacher in school going around saying, some people talk about God being spirit, invisible. How can we believe such nonsense? One of the students got very angry after a while and said, has anybody seen the professor's brain? You haven't? No brains. It's not what you see. Now, let me illustrate for this for you a little bit. See, years and years ago, I still remember this story, and this happened to me, so I can tell you this story from my heart. Okay, you can talk to this vet doctor here later on and see whether it's true. You know, dogs, not all dogs are born equal. There was one particular breed called a Pekingese. And it used to be the dogs of emperors, right? Besides the Shar Pei, which is an ugly dog. Nothing but full of skin. And this is a dog. And there was supposed to be a pair, but they never really got along. One was called Jack. Jack likes me, but I didn't like him because he was a bit smelly. He just had this BO problem, which, you know, just didn't like him very much. But when I sit down, he will come to me. Okay, Jack, please. And he's just slobbering all over you, a lot of saliva all over you. The one I liked was this pretty little dog called Pedals. But Pedals was proud, arrogant, typical Pekingese. Now, this were the dogs of my in-laws, parents, in-law. And so when our Pedals, she would just look at me, look the other way around, tilt the head, and walk away. Would you like something? Jack, no need to give food, he will come. Pedals, you try to feed her with, she will snub you. And she'll just walk away. What was wrong with her? I tried to be friendly, Pedals. I can give you nice things to eat. But one day something happened. She went out to the garden to ease herself. And then suddenly she ran into the house and she was yelping and screaming, and she was bitten by a lot of big fat red ants. Now, I was sitting there on the floor and she jumped into my lap and turned herself around, sort of help. So I began to catch, oh wow, I saw the big fat red ants, you know, I went to kill some of them. Yes, kill. I mean, you know, you don't have ants, would you go away? Look, listen, ants are ants. They don't talk nice. So I had to squeeze them, and you know, they all got rid of them until every single ant was gone. Of course, I get bitten also. So a little bit of red welts here and there. But that changed her spirit. From then onwards, Petals and I became good friends. I step into the house, I sit down, she would run and she beats Petals to it. I'm sorry, beats Jack to it. Of course, Jack I still don't like. But you know, Petals became, I mean, she was just such a beautiful little girl, and she just said, "No, she looked at me." No, I'm serious. You take a look. How do you explain this? You can't. Right? Now, I had another dog. This one is called, I call her Pom Pom, because she was so fluffy, had a little baby, really like a pom pom. So I brought her. She grew up. You know what she likes to do? She just sit on my lap while I'm doing my work, typing. She sits on my lap. From time to look at me. And that beautiful little girl used to just go everywhere with me. She likes to get into the car, open the car door, she would jump in. I would bring her with my son to RI when she was at Grange Road. Drive her there, and so happy. If I don't drive her, she's going to be very upset. And when I come back from prayer meeting at night, she won't be in the house. She's going to wait outside the gate there until I open the gate, open the door, jump in, drive her around for a little bit, around the estate for a little bit, come right back, and she'll be so happy. What is this thing here? It's invisible, but it's real. And she was a great, small little fellow. I'm a small little girl here. I can put it in my arm. Fierce like anything. One day, an Alsatian came to our house there, just was sniffing around. And she was very angry. This is about her size. The Alsatian is that big. And she went to bark at her, wow, 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 wow. This is my house, don't come in. She was tremendous spirit inside her. I was really, really one. You see, dogs have these things and they can actually relate to you. It's a strange thing, but it's real and it's wonderful. And it's something that you just sort of really, really appreciate. Now, if dogs can relate like this, you think you humans don't? Humans are just blank? That's not true. The human being has a wonderful spirit that God has made, only we don't know very much about it. But let's take a look. Look at your notes and you will see. First, we read, God made the body, right? Right? If you don't have a spirit, if you don't have a soul inside you, you would be dead. That we read. So God formed the body, and then we read, He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. And that's what makes us different. So when we conduct a funeral service, that spirit or that soul has gone from that person. Now, this is important. What is this thing that we call the spirit? What is this thing that we call the soul? Now, it's difficult to understand this, but we can try, and this is important. How does it affect us? Well, look at the book of Proverbs. We read, the spirit of man, can you read this in your notes here? Is the lamp of the Lord. God has put that spirit into you so that it will help you search what is inside you. Now, a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people are walking around like dead. They don't know what's happening. But God has put that spirit inside us so that we know what we are on the inside. Take a look further. Okay? And B, how does the spirit affect us? It affects our very health and outlook of life. A merry heart does good like medicine. When a person has a merry heart, he's actually healthier, happier. When a person is down, bitter, angry, everything he does comes out bitter, angry. Oh, very obvious, isn't it? Right? And so this is what we understand, how the human spirit can affect the heart. It will sustain him in sickness. But when your spirit is broken, it's very hard to sustain. So there's some people who are sick and they just don't want to live anymore. You watch them deteriorate. But when they are strong in the spirit, you watch them. They will fight and they will recover far better, far faster than a person who has a broken spirit. Now, a lot of us don't know that we have this spirit or this soul. Now, and we're going to encourage you to figure this out, learn, and then see how that will help you. Okay, now, the person who wrote 2 Corinthians was Paul. Take a look at what he said further. He said, I serve God with my spirit. Now, you can tell. If you go to a restaurant, if the waiter, waitress is unhappy spirit, you know what they're like? Boom, they just, I mean, this is terrible. I still remember that time when I went, my favorite noodle is the flat one, mee po. What's yours? Same? Or kway teow? Well, whatever it is. Mine was before. So I went to, I don't mind queuing 15, 20 minutes to do, for my bowl. And what so I did was a favorite stall down there in around the Serangoon Road there. So I went down there and I ordered. So I sat down, happy, and then my face turned. There was something swimming inside. And it was not a fish ball. Fish balls don't swim. But this one was brown and he had legs. Now, I did not order that element. Remember, I ordered it soup, but I didn't order. I know I did not order the extra element. He didn't ask me whether I wanted that. So I went back to the man and I said, hello, what is this? It's called a nymph. You know what a nymph is? A nymph is a small baby cockroach. So I didn't order cockroach soup. Mee pork soup, yes. Cockroach soup, no. What are you going to do about it? No, he's got a cantankerous spirit. You know what he did? He took the ladle, took out the cockroach, and put it in, make some soup, and gave it back to me. I said, I am not eating that stuff. So I waited for him to cook me a second bowl. I can tell you the second bowl was not good. I look at it, it looks flat. And tasted it, it was flat. I never went to the stall again. Why? It was not a mean pork. It was the spirit of the man. The spirit of the hawker. You didn't realize, right? You watch, you want to go to see hawkers which are good. You watch the way they cook. When they do, wow, when they... When they do a dance, that is good. You should see the Chak Wei Tiao man. If he doesn't, I can't be bored. But when he's excited and he look at his face, and he dances. Even when he's not doing anything, he is just nervous action. And you know he's good. And you watch the lady that he works with. The lady is already half gone. And you ask for yourself, where did that go to? He went to your kwetiao. That's where he went to. And you didn't realize it. And you thought it was good. No, be careful. Those things disappear into your food. And then some days you feel sick. Well, that can happen. So be careful. But we all understand this whole idea of the Spirit. Now, how does the faith of a person affect the Spirit? How do you have the Spirit of faith? Now, that is a big, serious question. Right? So Paul wrote, and he tries to explain, and he says that we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written. Now, what is that all about? Obviously, he must have been writing about something that others had. So Teacher Chung Han talks about 30 years of faith. Now, that's something. And it's wonderful to see, isn't it? What is it? What is the spirit of faith that can stay inside a person for 30 years? Obviously, it's real. Obviously, there is faithfulness. Obviously, it involves the heart and the mind. What is it? And this evening, I want to tell you, and sometimes the best way to understand the spirit of faith is to tell you stories about people who had obviously the spirit of faith. Now, the spirit of the days of the apostles, like Paul, is known as the apostolic age. Right? Now, after they passed away, we call it a sub-apostolic age. In other words, still not apostles. And then we enter into the period we call the church father's age. So the sub-apostolic age and the period of the church fathers about the same time, 2nd, 3rd century people. And that is always interesting to study. Not easy to study, but interesting to study. And I want to tell you about some of these people. You don't read them in the scriptures, but it's so obvious about their life. The Apostle John had two famous disciples. One was called Ignatius of Antioch, bishop. The other one was called Polycarp of Smyrna, bishop. And they wrote about how the Apostle John made them the bishop in these regions. Now, what is interesting is how they lived their lives. Now, the apostles are all gone. What was their great challenge? To pull the churches that the apostles had planted and developed, pull them together so that they are united. Now, not easy. But then came the Romans. And so they wrote to the emperors, what shall we do with these people called Christians? And the emperor wrote, one of them was Marcus Aurelius. And he wrote, okay, at first, nothing. Don't bother them unless they are criminals. But they're not. So another letter, which he said, okay, this is what we know. There came persecution. So the order went out. If they are Roman citizens, behead them. If they are non-Roman citizens, torture them until they die. Now that is going to be the greatest test ever of your spirit. Now that was a real challenge. So Ignatius of Antioch, bishop, he was arrested together with a lot of Christians. Are you a Christian? And he said, yes. Do you know the emperor's order? And he said, yes. And that's where they started this thing called this Colosseum. That's where this arena. And they, he was said that Ignatius of Antioch was one of the first few people who were thrown to the lions. And he refused to say, I am not a Christian. So he had a choice. If you say you are not a Christian, pour out an offering to the emperor and we'll let you go. If you don't do that, you die. Question, what is your spirit of faith? How serious are you about your faith? Is it in your mind? Is it in your heart? Is it worth dying for? Now that is interesting. So Ignatius died. His good friend, Polycarp. Now he's an older guy. And so they came to him and they said, be kind to yourself. You're so old already. Just say, I'm not a believer. Bow to the emperor. Take up this cup. Pour a libation to him. We'll let you go. If you don't, we will torture you and you will die. And so they threatened him with fire. If you don't, we'll burn you. I'm not afraid of fire, but you ought to be afraid of eternal fire. Wow. And so they didn't know what to do with him. And he said this, I am 86 years old, and God has been good to me all my life, and I am not going to deny my Savior. Order went out. Polycarp will die. Took a spear and they thrust him. It didn't stop there. It went on to the next century. And this was really went on. And the next person we come across is a man called Justin Martyr. This time, this one was a defender of the faith. He wrote to defend Christianity, wrote to the emperor, defending what they believe in. The emperor was not interested at all in any way. So the prefect Rustical said to him, so you are not afraid, huh? You suppose that if you die, you're going to heaven, right? He says, no, you are wrong. I do not suppose. I know. He was so angry with him. He felt very insulted. And so he says, kill him. Not suppose, I know. It was in his mind, it was in his heart, it was in his spirit. Who else were there? Irenaeus, Lyon, over in France. They call it Gaul in those days. Same, arrested. And many others with crap. I think one of the most moving stories was written by this authors in the early days. And her name was called Blandina. And Blandina is a story of a young, she was actually a slave girl. And so they captured her. and told her, you know, they all partook of Holy Communion. This is my body. This is my bread. And they were saying that Christians were cannibals. They purposely twisted the thing. They knew it was not true. They just... And so they told her, listen, we offer you freedom. Freedom. No more slave. You are a freed woman. Nope. I'm a Christian. We don't do vile things. That's what she said. She's not a scholar. She's not a defender. She's not a bishop. She's just a slave girl. But watch her spirit. She loved the Lord. She, in her heart, believed. In her mind, she was certain. And her spirit was one of courage. And so they tried to bribe her. She would not respond. And so they said to her, what are we going to do with you? You see the hot chair there? We're going to strip you naked. And then we're going to put you into the hot chair there. I am a Christian. And I will not deny Jesus. There is nothing vile among us Christians. They were so angry. They put her there in the hot seat there. Flesh came out, screamed, are you going to deny? You see, when you are tortured like that, whether or not you truly believe, you will know. Many people believe with their words, with their mind, fine, but it's not within their own spirit. They realize they tortured her for a few days. They realized they couldn't do anything to her. So they put her into a net, threw her down to the arena where mad bull gored her. And then finally, when she still refused, they took a knife and then killed her. What do you do with this? First century, second century, third century, many were the Christians who died. Here's another one. His name was called Sanctus. They imprisoned him, starved him, refused, took a spear, hit him, refused to give up his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so many Christians suffered for their faith. But in their spirit, in their soul, they refuse to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the spirit of faith. It's not, I believe with my lips. It's not, I think, I read scriptures. It's not just simply, I love the Lord Jesus. It is so inside their spirit. You can't beat them out. You can't beat out the faith inside them. You cannot torture the faith out of them. Fourth century. Now 400 years have passed. Telemachus came in. And he went to the arena. And he says, it's been 400 years. Why are you still going to the Colosseum, to the arenas? Why are you enjoying this sport? So he ran into the arena and shouted to the people, in the name of Jesus Christ, stop! One of the soldiers took a spear and with the other end hit him. And he collapsed. And he got up. And he says, in the name of Jesus, stop all this killing. This time they took a spear and they thrust it at him. He's bleeding. A pool of blood had come in. One last time he stood up. In the name of Jesus, stop this. And then finally he died. 80,000 people saw that. They heard the voice of one man asking the people, in the name of the Lord Jesus, stop this. Suddenly, one man stood up and he walked up. A whole hush fell on the stadium there at the 4th century. All those arenas were abandoned. No more would they try and torture Christians. But they paid with their lives. In the words of Irenaeus and others, blood of the martyrs, the seed of the church. Gone are the days when people loved the Lord Jesus, believed in him so deeply, no matter what you try and do against them, they will not budge from their faith. They would rather die for their faith in the Lord Jesus than compromise. That is the spirit of faith. Not too many people understand this, but there is a blend now, a blend within the mind, the heart, the soul of the person, until you watch. The Spirit of Christ is inside them, so part of them. It was in Paul. So that when he served, he could say, I serve with my spirit. You see? And the spirit of the person will help you to understand, are you really a believer? Do you really love Jesus in this way? You will not give up your faith for anything. That is the spirit that we seriously want to consider. And tonight, as we pray together, I do want to ask you seriously, do you think you have this spirit of faith? Do you think you would like this spirit of faith? When I was younger, I know I believe in Jesus, but you know what I was scared about? I was scared if I were to be tortured, if I were to have difficulties, what would I do? Maybe we don't get tortured like this anymore. I still remember the time when I told my grandmother that I was going to be baptized. The person dearest to my heart was my grandmother. And I said I was going to get baptized. I was going to become a Christian. She looked at me. She turned away. And tears came. My heart broke. But I had made a commitment to the Lord. I was going to follow through. And I followed through. My late father, I told him I was going to become a pastor. He was really upset with me. For the next 3 years, he did not say one word to me. He walked past me as if I did not exist. 3 years, I understood what it means to have a spirit of faith within me. I wasn't tortured, but I had to face other challenges. I began to grow a spirit of faith inside me, one that will not move from my commitment to the Lord Jesus. One more than my heart and my mind. One that is so much a part of me. This is what it means to be a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to challenge you to pray and to ask yourself and then to pray to God and say, you know, I would like to ask how I can have that spirit of faith. Now that is not an easy thing to have, but it's got to be, do I really believe in Jesus? Can I go beyond believing? Can I say I love him? And then one more step. Would I die for my faith? My answer was yes, long ago. If I have to die for my faith, I will die for my faith. Maybe not actually dying physically, like in the first, second, third, fourth centuries. But deep down inside my heart, I know that I am prepared to lay down my life for the Lord Jesus Christ, my Savior, my Lord, my King. Let's pray together. This evening as we pray together. And I used to read these stories and my heart was so stirred. I look at all these people. They did not just simply speak of faith in Jesus with words. They were prepared to suffer. You can just imagine this young girl called Blandina, tortured for days, but she would not give up her faith in Jesus. Older guys like Polycarp and Irenaeus and others, and Ignatius, and I can name a whole lot of other people. They all remain true to the Lord Jesus Christ, even if they died. Inside my heart was my prayer, Lord, I want this kind of faith. Not just an intellectual faith, but a faith that will enable me to suffer, to live, to serve, and yes, to die for my faith. And that became my passion, my life. Oh, I sought to build this faith. Not just my mind, not just my heart, but my spirit too. And every day, I would read and I would just pray, Lord, help me to have this spirit of faith. I wonder whether you would like to have this spirit of faith too. Think about this tonight. Maybe your parents don't like it. Maybe your friends don't like you after a while. But you are going to say, I am going to soldier on. I'm going to carry on, no matter what. That is the beginning of a spirit of faith. Ponder this. Our Father, we thank you that we have wonderful stories of people who had a true and rich faith in you. And they were not afraid to suffer, to even die and be tortured for their faith. We ask for such a spirit of faith too, that we may have such a faith that will enable us to be true and steadfast and faithful to the very end. No matter if parents don't understand, no matter if they get angry, we thank you for such a faith. And we ask that we would consider praying for such a spirit of faith to be ours too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.